Benvenute e benvenuti a questo atelier, sull'antimilitarismo organizzato dalla Federazione Anarchica Italiana. Per iniziare avremo
we'll start with four speeches, starting from Maria, who is going to talk about anarchist anti-militarism, then Patrizia, who is going to talk about the strikes around the, against the war organized in Italy, Federico, who is going to talk about the anti-war manifesto which was written by the Italian anti-war manifesto. Dario will speak about the No Baza camp. Last but not least, we also have a friend from UK, Nick, from the Anarchist Communist Group, who will contribute to the discussion. Yeah. Welcome, everyone. Hello, everyone. Hello everyone once again. It might seem paradoxical to speak about anti-militarism between anarchists, because anti-militarism is a constitutive element of our identity and of our history. As anarchists and anti-authoritarians, we consider the state violence as worst of the...
Okay.
The state retains the monopoly of legitimate violence. The only legitimate violence in this world, legitimate in the sense as recognized as just from the side of the states, is the violence of the state itself. If I stand up and hit someone violently or kill someone in this room, I will be considered, but also in front of the state, as an assassin. But if this violence is being exerted by men and women in uniforms against someone that the state of this country sees as an enemy, this violence is being seen as legitimate. Killing the name of the state, warmongering, is legitimate. Whoever wears a uniform is authorized not to kill a person, but to kill 100,000 people, millions of people, men, women, children. Only because in a particular moment, this state has decided that these men, women, and children are enemies of this state. The enemy is someone to be destroyed and defeated. The enemy is someone who needs to be cancelled. The enemy is someone who is being dehumanized by this state. It's not human. It's someone who is going to be destroyed because he's an enemy of the state. Using this lens, armed forces exist, but also the rhetoric that reinforces the existence of armed forces, uniforms, awards, because they present war as something heroic, courageous. Because they make tolerable something that for anarchists, not anarchists, is totally intolerable. It's for that reason that us, being enemies of the state as anarchists, we are, until the end, anti-militarists, against armed forces of whatever kind. There are not good armed forces. There are not good armed forces. There are no good states with just armed forces. No one can think that this is just a perspective that it's used by anarchists. Historically, the anarchists opposed themselves not only to wars, but also to the existence of the armed forces. Until the wars, there was the obligatory draft in Italy. Many anarchists in Italy didn't go to the army. Many ended up in jails and prisons for many years. Because you cannot be an accomplice in any kind of militarism. We have always supported the objectors, the deserters, those who have refused to enter in the armed forces in our countries and in other places in the world. Because as internationals, those who refuse the war, those who say no to the state, to the massacres perpetrated by the state, are our comrades, even if you've never met them in person. We are doing it actively in these years. But the militarism is changing. It's changing in a drastic, radical way since many, many years. Since how many years to justify the unjustifiable, to justify using the logic of human rights? How can you justify using the logic of the human rights, the wars of the recent years? So they invented themselves the humanitarian operations. We are going to go to Afghanistan to massacre them, or in Iraq and Afghanistan for their own good. We are going to do them in their best interest because we know better and want everything. But this argumentation, this narrative, serves only one purpose. This of, to justify, according to this, to the states of the North, European states, North American states, this was before wasn't justifiable. To serve as a legitimizing force to conduct wars around the world. But this has his consequences. This has evolved in what is now being called the international police operation. The word police is not being used without sense, because something very, very dramatic is happening in front of our eyes. We are witnessing an osmosis between the armed forces and police. The functions of the armed forces and the functions of the police. In Italy, since 2009, with an operation called Strade Sicure, Safe Roads, the soldiers have been deployed in the streets alongside police officers, alongside 3-4 different police forces that we have in Italy. Alongside police officers, now in Italy, you have armed soldiers patrolling the streets. So since 3 years, the soldiers, the members of the armed forces, have the rights to do the same things as the police officer. They are doing six months of foreign armed mission, massacring foreign populations, and then they are doing 6 months of the Strade Sicure operation, patrolling the streets of Italian cities. But not only. We have police officers that are on the borders, not of Italy. We have policemen deployed on the borders between Greece and Turkey. We have police officers that are doing soldiers' work. As you can see, the techniques that are being experimented on the populations of Iraq and Afghanistan, the populations where the war is being taken, are being taken back.
Mm-hmm.
I being taken back to hit what is perceived as the internal enemy. The soldiers in Italy are being deployed in migrant centers. Migrants are seen as another enemy in within. But the soldiers are also deployed in missions in the waters around Italy. When a migrant ship sank near Cupro in South Italy, a small town in Calabria, when a boat full of migrants sank in Cupro, who were already seeing the Italian shores, sank in front of people's eyes. First, the aid has been called, but instead of sending the rescue ships, military ships were sent beforehand. Why? Before these ships weren't boats full of women, children, who were risking of sinking, but were seen as enemies. They weren't seen as children and women, but as enemies that need to be removed. So you can see that the notion of enemy is extended over the classic dichotomy between the war between the states, and sees the police and the armed forces mixing their own functions and responsibilities. Also, we as anarchists are seen as internal enemies. We find ourselves in a country as Italy, where there is a relationship between the inhabitants and policemen superior than in any other country in the world. Maybe excluding Costa Rica, when there is no armed forces. The relationship being heightened because of the presence of military forces in the streets of Italian cities. So the internal war and external war are now the same faces of the same something. So we need to start discussing in these terms. So the special police operations that are being conducted in Italian cities are seen as the same lens as foreign military operations of which the Italian state is being part of. We think that this is the main aspect of this discussion. But we are not here just to make analysis, even if we think that it's important to start with this introduction, but also to discuss that our anti-militarism is active day after day, day by day, on different fronts. We're in the first line to oppose the production and arms dealing. A giant armed corporation, Leonardo, sells weapons everywhere, and we think that even if the wars sometimes are being conducted far away, the roots of war are always two steps from our houses. There are two steps from the gardens in which our children play. But the arms factories are there. We can stop them. We can close them. We are organizing campaigns everywhere on this front. There are struggles against military bases. Italy is full of military bases, of Italian bases, NATO bases, US bases. We are doing struggles around the military polygons, which contaminate the air. We fight alongside deserters. There is an effort to build a struggle alongside workers of our country. against the war and the militarism, because the war expenditures have reached 2% of our country's PIL. In our country, we spent in one day this, what is needed to build 4 new hospitals every day. So the connection between the anti-militarism, class struggle, and more general struggles that are connected to our everyday lives, it's the fundamental part around which we are trying to organize. And it's important from our point of view to create connections, create relationships, build bridges, because if the nationalists, the armed forces, are national, our perspective instead is an internationalist perspective against all armed forces everywhere in the world, against the European armed forces if they are going to do it. We are organizing alongside everyone who is exploited everywhere in the world, despite of any border. The world that we have in our hearts is a world without armed forces, borders, states, and state violence. Hi to everyone. Thank you. Thank you to Maria. Thank you to the translators team. Thank you to everyone who have already spoken. I will try to explain very quickly why and how the Italian Anarchist Federation has written this short pamphlet that you can find, that is being distributed today, that you can also read online. It has been translated in 3 languages, and you can find it on the Italian Anarchist Federation website. I will just speak about some elements to contextualize better the manifesto that we have written. Apart from reading it on our website, you can also find it at our stall at the Anarchist Book Fair here in Santimia. So the first element that we need to understand to contextualize the manifesto is the discourse of war and what the anarchist anti-militarism has been individualized as a priority. Already before the start of the war, in Ukraine. This is because there are already dozens of armed conflicts around the world, and of course, historically, in the last years, we have located between the relationship between capitalism, patriarchy, and militarism, we have located them a point in which we need to involve ourselves and we need to organize our struggles around. So in September 2001, we were promoters of an organization that is called the Anti-Militarist Assembly. There is a lot of anti-militarist assemblies, local anti-militarist assemblies in various cities, and there is also the National Anti-Militarist Assembly, which is composed of the activists from our federation, but also of other anarchist, libertarian groups, anti-war associations. Because the anti-militarist discourse in Italy has allowed us to be in relationship with other more broader levels. Of course, we are talking here about grassroots, grassroots type of organizing, beyond party politics, beyond organizing against all wars, against all armed forces. So when we started, so after we started this initiative, we have focused on the aspect of the arms dealing and arms manufacturing. So we are organizing around struggles against arms manufacturing, which is booming in our country as well as in other countries, and also against all military infrastructure and installations, which is seeing a lot of grassroots organization in Italy against military bases. But also we oppose and organize against neo-colonial military operations in which Italian armed forces are being involved. So after the start of the war in Ukraine, February 2022, one of our main initiatives was to restart the initiatives that we have promoted together with other groups against the wars in which in the 90s and 2000s the Italian state and Italian armed forces were involved, which were the wars in Iraq and Kosovo, during which the Italian armed forces our federation was at the center of anti-militarist organizations. We organized anti-militarist organizations from a syndicalist perspective, from this radical conflictual syndicalist perspective. And this was also the case of last year. There were two general strikes in May and December 2022 that we have supported, because we think that the strike, a general strike against the war, is an initiative, is a key point to connect a discourse of an anti-militarism, to connect anti-militarism with class struggle, to confirm that the war, that the struggle against the war needs to be done by the exploited, by the workers. They need to refuse work, production, and arms production, and to desert the war. And we are saying it loudly from Italy, because Italy is a country at war. Because Italy is also involved in the Ukrainian conflict through the arms transport and arms support to one of the sides of the conflict. We have opposed this since the beginning, because for us being against war means to oppose all wars and all sides of the conflict. We are talking about states and the governments and the armed forces, because we start from a perspective. That's also why we have reproposed this idea of the manifesto. We start from ideas of Enrico Malatesta, on whose ideas, on whose intellectual heritage our federation is founded, who was involved in the first anti-militarist manifesto in 1905. Malatesta was saying that he is not a pacifist, but thought that people not need to fight not for war, but for a social revolution. So not for the war, but for a social revolution. to fight not for a state or for an armed force or for a government, because the war is waged between the exploited and the exploiters. And recently, lots of irrational definitions of anti-militarism are being thrown around. Again, Malatesta helps us to understand what anti-militarism is. Anti-militarism, according to Malatesta, is an idea that being part of the armed forces, it's abominable. And that no one should ever fight in any kind of war apart from social revolution. This produces two political consequences. First is the class struggle, in which the war in general is part of a class struggle. War is part of the operation in which the exploited have nothing to gain. And the other aspect that is fundamental for our anarchism, which is an ethical aspect. That means that it is immoral to go to war and kill or get killed. It is not ethically acceptable to kill other people, to wearing a uniform as part of a state, of a government. This is one of the founding principles from which we have started to write this anti-militarist manifesto. There is another terms that we retake from 1905 manifesto. One of these is defeatism. Revolutionary defeatism means that we are internationalists. So if a war starts between two nations, our role, our responsibility is in solidarity, lies in solidarity between the oppressed classes of the two nations. Our responsibility is not to take part in the war on the part of one of the states. This is connected to other considerations, maybe considerations that are more actual. Our critique, first of all, of nationalism, and particularly of what is linked to nationalism, is the principle of territorial sovereignty. The principle of territorial sovereignty means that we have imaginary lines called borders that impede normal circulation of people and create, always linked to nationalism, and create national hatred, ethnical hatred. So these are the things that our anti-militarism and our intermilitarist solidarity needs to fight against, because there is nothing anarchist in fighting for territorial sovereignty of one province. As a consequence, there is nothing anarchist or anti-militarist in participating in armed forces and wearing a uniform.
If there is no coherence on the lead and the pin, we'll fall completely our idea of anarchism. Therefore, we sell this. Dario Maria, our is not uniquely our position of principles, We are active in the contrast of the war in all levels. We have to eliminate the condition of war. We have to pass a new level of idea in our society against the propaganda, militarist propaganda, from the newspaper, the television, the schools, and go against the production of that, in the production, the movement of the military installations. In supporting deserters and people that they go against in the wars, the victims, the first victim, they are the populations, and it is mainly the center to refuse, to object, to desert, because the anarchists don't wear uniforms and don't do wars, but the desert wars mainly. This is our idea for anti-militarism. Can you hear me? Good evening. I'm very pleased to see a full hall, even in all the halls of this international event are the testimony of a great interest of to listen, to meet each other. I want to tell you, I am from the Italian Federation, and I'm also active in the basic syndicate union. In Italy, there are many unions, but there is a division, a door which divided the union, which find a solution with the government and the syndicate conflict, which bring forward a different project, which was structured in the years, which many years of experience. An experience which is unpopular, and is experience successful, sometimes less successful, or for surely like an alternative which gives difficulty to the government, is hard to shape, to divide, a typical way of to interpret the work. Which is out of classification, which is trying to unite the needs of the workers against the exigence, the needs of the states. I've been working in the school for many years. I would love to tell you, in particular, the struggle we have developed in the years around the idea of militarism, and have been struggles very important and very hard. This is path which has been minimized, which has been followed this. The great number are in tune with the government, but we are against the contraposition and the boycott, the former consensus, which had become like a form to suppress in Italy. As Federico said, two general strikes. One, which was under the Draghi government, a center-right government, and then under the Meloni government and the actual fascist government. And to campaign brought forward in a very direct way, in an apparent to different governments, but then they are not very different. And they concord on the same militaristic politics and the two different governments which follow the same line on external and internal wars. Two strikes were very like I would like to tell in Italy the strike legislation in difference with many European government. In Italy is possible to have like a political government and not just in Italy it's possible to declare a strike just for political reason, the right to against the war, the rights for a house. They are two types of strike. They are very difficult to promote, they are very difficult to market, but they need a deeper requirement of diffusion, but they don't touch the immediate feeling of the workers based on the need of the moment. But there are different possibilities, and this possibility is being allowed and is being promoted in different ways. Thus in October 2021, when there was the need to declare a general strike for the economic situation devastating due to the economic crisis, but also due to the consequences of the government reactions, and also for the COVID situation, based on the economic circumstances. The strike of 2021, proclaimed by all the basic unions, receive a big solicitation. Was a big struggle to be decrease the amount of money for the external wars in Italy, which are 40s all around the world, which bring not just war or increasement of the militarism, but also bring devastation, environmental devastation, and extraction, mining, and destruction on the environment. Already in, before the Ukrainian war, before the invasion of Russia, already in that general strike promoted by all the general unions, it was based mainly on this element. Successfully, there was another big element of reflection on peace, on anti-militarism brought, is to try to build a united process to a syndicalist process. The difficulties are many. There is a fragmentation of the basic unions, which didn't to build a strike which bring within itself the strike were against the war and the economy of war, which will mean against everything, the money which is subtracted by wars, from health, from the schools, also against the militarization of our life, always more control, over dominated by military logic. To increase the idea of workers united against a strike, which enriched greatly. It's nice to see in the workplace leaflets, to see in the notice board the leaflets against general strikes, which is not just symbolic, but is material against the war. It's something which gives a sense of possibility, the idea of breaking possible to break the mechanism of war against poverty and against oppression. The idea of increase the idea of militarism, which is a mass process, which become common. It's not anymore just something which is staying in the head of some anarchy. It's impossible to say something which is crazy in the city, in the street. Before we were just the 4th of November in Italy, we celebrate the end of the First World War. Is a militaristic party. Before, just the anarchists were celebrating that. In this year, in the squares, in the streets, many part of the society were participated into that. The awareness in the society increased massively, not just in our association. There were some strikes in the delivery of arms in the port. There were many forms of thought disobedience, which were the shared idea, not war, not the delivery of war, not to the cessation of politics, which increase the possibility of wars, not wars. Not just in Ukraine, also elsewhere, because wars are everywhere in the world. And this was very important for us. I wanted to say something that always discussing about strikes. Strikes are just one of the many possibilities. I wanted to add the transfeminist strikes of the 8th March. Also the feminist movement is against the militarization of our life, refer to our condition of workers, male or female, the poor sector of the society, the unemployment sector, the culture of militarism. Is a culture which imposes machism, sexism, and the reproduction of a class of a society divided in classes. The opposition, the feminist opposition against the militarism war, was not just done against the opposition against women, because the women have to take care of the world, because the opposition is a rebellion strike. They want to reclaim the capacity to control our life, and a declaration of hate of all form of wars and militarism. In our opinion, we should transform our contribution, our can be a generic pacifism, a positivism, militarism. We have to wait politics, we have to wait the police, we have to wait the army. We want to add something else, we want to transform in a different way.
I would like to move forward. I would like to present a testimony of a struggle that we have in our territory where we live in Italy. I'm from Livorno. I'm also part of the Italian Anarchist Federation. And the territory on which we live, the area between Pisa and Livorno, the two cities alongside the coast, the West Italian coast, in front of the Corsica and Sardinia Isles, it's a heavily militarized area. The distance between this city is around 27 kilometers. But in this distance, there are more than 15 big military infrastructures. There is the US military base, Camp Darby, which is the biggest arms deposit of the United States beyond the United States. There's the Navy Officers Academy. There's the Special Services Base. There is Special Forces Command Center, where Italian Special Forces train alongside U.S. Special Forces. There is the command center of the Airborne Folgore Division, which is the main army unit that is participating in foreign military operations. There is the Carabinieri Special Forces Base, which is the Italian military police. Special special forces that are being sent to train military police military personnel of other countries, for example, Djibouti, Somalia, and Sudan. Sudan, in which there is an ongoing war. The special forces that are fighting in Sudan have been trained by these Italian special forces. Moreover, there is the military airport in Pisa, where is the 36th Airborne Division, which transports a lot of military infrastructure. Then there is the Livorno military port, also a nuclear military port, a port to which U.S. Ships come to bring arms. So we live in this territory that is, in fact, a big military base under an open sky. It's also a territory that has strong rebellious revolutionary roots, traditions. It's a territory that was part of the workers' union, workers' movement, of the anarchist movement. In this area, there were always strong anti-militarist struggles. Of course, different waves of anti-militarist struggles. And recently, we have observed a new growth of these anti-militarist struggles, especially against the construction of the new base that is meant to be given to the Carabinieri Special Forces. This base is meant to be built in the countryside near Pisa, and almost immediately an assembly was formed, a popular assembly, participated by all important political associations, unions, that have created the No Base movement. The No Base movement, in two slogans, is no military bases here or anywhere else, and no military bases for any wars, because we know that these military bases are the fundaments of wars that are being made in other places in the world. These bases are the fundaments of wars that are being declared in our streets against migrants, against people without documents, against anarchists, against revolutionaries. So we organize a lot of mass initiatives, for example, a 10,000 strong manifestation last year. Recently, last week, we organized a camping to reorganize the struggle. We occupied an area that is owned by the university, a couple of hundred meters from a different military base, which is an ex-nuclear reactor owned by the Navy. We have occupied this area, around 250 people that were camping. We organized debates every day. And one of the evenings last week, we organized a manifestation in the countryside. We blocked the state road. And then we walked towards the base. And walking through the forest, some of the comrades have cut the fences and put the No Base movement flags in the territory of the military base. Of course, this is a symbolic tactic, but this is a symbolic tactic to show that these hundreds of kilometers of fences and military bases that are not allowing people to move freely through our countryside, that are not allowing people to see the sea, that are enclosing in itself military infrastructure, military equipment, that this military infrastructure can be torn down, can be destroyed with simple gestures and simple tools. Obviously, we made only a small hole, but holes can be enlarged, can get bigger if there are more people, if there is more force, and if there is more international solidarity. This is important for us to have this debate today. It's not, we are not doing it only to explain our point of view. Of course, it's important for us to explain our point of view, but it's more important to confront ourselves with comrades coming from all over the world. But it's important also to confront our practices, our methods, even just about communication. It's important for us to network, to exchange contacts, news, maybe also to come up with some common initiatives. This anti-militarist atelier, we thought of it as a three-day atelier. You're going to see it also in the program tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be from 2 to 4 in the co-working space, which is near the ferry. And the day after tomorrow, again, from 2 to the 4 to 4 at ZAF. It's not going to be the same. We are not going to tell the same things that we said today. Don't worry. Tomorrow we would like to speak more about the practices and methods to know, especially from people who are interested in. We would like to share and confront with other people the practices and methods that are used in anti-militarist struggles. We also saw that there are other debates around the same topic. We don't know the people who are organizing them, but we would really like to meet the people who is organizing them. Now I'm going to leave the floor to Nick, but I really encourage you to participate in the discussion after this presentation. Thank you. Vorrei ringraziare la Federazione Italiana Anarchica. Io condivido pienamente le prospettive della Federazione Italiana Anarchica e anche The Anarchist Communist Group condivide le stesse prospettive sulla guerra.
Sorry?
As a check on Russian imperialism. And this is in the context of both Britain and the United States supplying depleted uranium ammunition to the Ukraine. Depleted uranium, which would have an effect on both the local population and the local environment, and also the supply of cluster bombs by the US to the Ukraine regime. Cluster bombs which were used by US imperialism in Vietnam, in Cambodia, and in the Gulf War and other conflicts. So by doing so, they align the anarchists align themselves with the use of these weapons. Now, neither the Ukrainian state nor the Putin regime can be described as fascist, although they both used fascist forces to support them, as with the Azov units in Ukraine and with various far-right groupings in Russia. Now, Ukraine is a corrupt liberal democracy, whilst Russia is a kleptocracy, a rule of thieves, a rule of ex-Communist Party apparatchiks and bureaucrats that have now taken on the role of the new oppressors and the new exploiters. But anarchists in Britain have turned all of this around saying that the struggle, that support for Ukraine is an anti-fascist struggle. Ideological anti-fascism can serve to obscure class interests and subordinate revolutionary struggle to popular fronts in defense of the democratic state. Anarchist malcontents can easily be framed as Russian-backed separatists and saboteurs, or simply ignored in the wave of overwhelming patriotism and desire for a return to normality and stability, which would follow a military victory. Anarchists have always understood that the social transformation we wish to see cannot come about through the state or by military force of any kind. What must develop from the bottom up, amongst the oppressed and the exploited. Wars can only impose a new form of authority, even if that new authority is a lesser evil. Deferring the struggle against capitalism and the state until after the war, after a victorious war, only ensures the conditions for further war and oppression while undermining the struggle against them. Sorry, I can't hear you. A little pause, yes. All right. I'll repeat the sentences, yes? Anarchists have always understood that the social transformation that we want to see cannot come about by means of the state or of military force, but must develop from the bottom up amongst the oppressed and the exploited. Deferring the struggle against capitalism and the state until after a victorious war only ensures the conditions for further war and oppression while undermining the struggle against them. Yeah, sure. So what we have to posit against these pro-war moves is support for strikes against the war, support for conscientious objectors, deserters, draft dodgers, and war resistors, and for support against sabotage of the war effort and strikes against the war effort. In addition, those who refuse to serve in the armed forces, whether in the Ukraine or in Russia, should be supported through aid networks if they manage to flee to the West. We say, down with all of the ruling class, throw all the generals out on their arse. No war, but the class war.
So thanks also for making the links between the military industry and the local industry. And the fight in France, the fights that I know about, has been marked by different attacks on these sites, these military sites. So it was really interesting to see how the same thing materialized in Italy. But I do have a point of difference, or something that I don't resonate with as much. This idea that borders are just a product of imagination, I think that that's not true. I think that borders are a social fact, that they come from human activity. They exist, they mark our bodies, they mark our minds. Whether we want to respect them or not, national borders exist. And sometimes borders that are not on a map, borders that populations think about are real for different populations. So to put this whole question of borders just aside, for me, is a way of kind of ignoring the fights for national liberation. As someone who's French, but also a descendant of colonized countries, we carry a big part of our history as the fight of liberations of our different countries. And I think, as an anarchist, we can't just remove this part of the history that for a big part of the global proletariat is important. Of course, we need to see imperialism as an extension of capitalism, as a domination of the world. And so I think it's important not just from the perspective of an ideal, but from a moral standpoint that, for example, Kropotkin defined. So in the name of this sort of ethic, in the name of this moral compulsion that we have as anarchists, we need to support struggles for liberations of different peoples across the world, even if that is a nationalist type of liberation. We need to support populations and part of our class that is fighting for more autonomy, nationalist liberations are not a goal in themselves, but I also don't think that we can just remove them because we have an anarchist ideal that doesn't include borders. I think the world is more complex than these type of theories, and we have to come back to the moral question of what does it mean in our militant practices to be anti-authoritarian.
I'm from Brazil. I'm a geographer, and so this theme, I guess, complains to our work. First of all, when we bring the anti-militarism as a concept and we reclaim the traditional anti-militarism, I guess we have a lack of definition, because these days when we say about, for example, the soldiers, that the option of them, or not the action of them, desert from the front line, we can't talk about that, about the drones and the weapons not human that are being used on this kind of war that we are living today. So when we talk about 21st century war, we have the technological actor being used and being mobilized to the combats. So how can we think about the anti-militarism when non-human actors are are inside the war. And when we think about it, also the you said about direct action against the industry of war, but as all international, globalized, multinational company, the industry of war is split around the world. And I want to know, would like to know if there is like an international research center about anti-militarism, or how can we try to think and act beyond some frontiers, beyond some states, so we can try to block different perspectives from the army factories. I guess that's a lot of stuff. Thank you very much.
Ciao a tutte e a tutti. Sono Ciao a tutte e a tutte. Sono Tiziano.
My name is Tiziano.
Federazione Anarchica Italiana e
and I must say that I agree with the first speech. I agree that the national question, the colonial question, is fundamental. Italy as a state that is very multifaceted, it plays different roles. It colonizes Africa and Asia using the slogan of the enlarged Mediterranean Sea. Italian troops are present in the Guinea Gulf to the Horn of Africa, from the Persian Gulf to the Red Sea. Moreover, Italian troops are present in all of Oriental Europe, obviously supporting reactionary governments in respective countries. But in the same time, Italy is a colony of the Anglo-American imperialism. From the end of the Second World War, from the end of the Second World War, U.S. military bases and U.S. troops, NATO bases, are present on Italian territories. Italian territories are being contaminated and destroyed by continuous military drills. But this is not enough. The organization of the Anglo-American imperialism, the NATO, has played also an important political role in Italy, has been the center of the so-called strategy of tension, history of attacks on Italian workers' antagonist movements, the Piazza Fontana massacre and the assassination of Comrade Pinelli. This is only about Italy, but think about the world. One of the points of the North Atlantic Treaty Organizations signed in 1941 is saying that the right of all people, and here we need to, the people are understood as states, governments, and the capitalists, surely not the pensioners or the disabled or homeless. So all people can access to all the natural resources in the world. And if this sentence had the sense in 1941, when the whole world was divided between imperialist powers, today it means that the Anglo-American imperialism and its serfs, they have the rights to exploit and grab the natural resources of Brazil, South Africa. This is what is happening, and this is what they are going to do also in Ukraine.
Se può dire due frasi, fermarsi per un secondo, due.
The Ukrainian government has received 500 milliards from Western countries. Sorry. 150 milliards where the internal produce of Ukraine is 130 milliards. This is the money. This is the money that will never be given back. Will serve only to enslave the Ukrainian people to the American interests. My name is Salvatore from the Italian Anarchist Federation. One thing is important to define on the matter of borders. Natural borders exist, ethnicities exist, cultures exist. Every people hears particular sounds, and based on these sounds, languages, ethnicities, and cultures moves and lives. And this is right. This is sacred. And when these ethnicities become and when these ethnicities start to think of them as better, or when they start to think of wanting to be better, this is where the notion of state, a notion of a flag, and a notion of an army comes into place. The union between different ethnicities, different cultural federations, is a fundamental discourse of anarchists. We are for the abolition of nations and for the abolition of national flags, because we are for the abolition of armed forces and states, but we are pro different autonomies, different ethnicities.
Sempre gli eserciti,
so we are pro this, but we always condemn the existence of states and different armies. So we should start slowly trying to conclude this discussion. Hello. I would like to say just two things very briefly. The first, in relation to the national liberation struggles, for me the problem is, what do we mean by liberation?
Più piano, più piano.
Piano.
The liberation is or total or is not a liberation. When it comes to ethnicities, I just want to add that also the concept of ethnicity can be also problematic. The concept of ethnicity is also problematic, ethnicities are fluid. In the same way, ethnicities don't exist, as races don't exist. So we have to be extremely careful when applying these concepts. One more question and we're done. One more reflection on the topic of liberation from colonization or foreign aggression. I would like to challenge the previous voice of the comrade who spoke about the national liberation. For anarchists, there is no liberation of one nation, of one state, of one institution. For anarchists, are being attacked by their own armed forces, by their own governments. If we want to free ourselves, within the class struggle from our bosses, from that colonizes us every day. Yeah.
To do from German into English?
She's doing English now.
Ah, she's doing English, not German. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And, okay. My thing is just talk in one sentence, and I think anti-militarism and class struggle, the one thing I miss is climate justice in this thing, because climate justice, all the wars in the world will, I don't know, my English is, kann ich, also die ganzen Ressourcen, die die Kriege der Welt verschlingen, ist, denke ich, was unbedingt mit in den anarchistischen Antimilitarismus auch mit dazu gedacht.
This has to be thought about as well in thinking about anti-militarism, so climate justice and anti-militarism. Test.
Look at the climate justice and the young generation. They are really, really in struggle, and it's important to know that anti-militarism and climate justice and class struggle, that these three things are thought together. Also, it's not the same.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Allora, in italiano, rapidissima conclusione. Sì. Vado?
Yes.
Allora. Prima, allora, chiedevate di tradurre la compagna.
You were asking to translate the comrade.
Microphone off? Vabbè, però.
Can you try the microphone off?
Ci sono altre due sessioni per perché ormai abbiamo.
There are two more sessions to continue the discussion tomorrow and the day after tomorrow for other questions because we are slowly running out of time. I think we need to finish our session. For the Italian speakers, I'm going to translate what the comrade said. She said that talking about anti-militarism and class struggles needs to include the discussion about climate change, about the young generations that are struggling. I'm going to try to reply to the questions that to the questions of Adriano and the other comrades. When it comes to Adriano, yeah, it's true. The question of technology goes through the workers' movement, the universities, and multinationals. The movements against the war don't have the force to have a visible impact, to have a decisive impact against the production of death, but it's surely a way to follow and to study. On the topic of climate, we can of course continue the discussion in the following ateliers tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, but for sure we are very much interested in the issue of climate, in the issue of gender and other axes of anti-militarist struggles. So we would like to thank to everyone for participating in this discussion. We remind you that there are two more ateliers tomorrow and the day after tomorrow from 2 to 4, in which we hope to continue our discussion using the topics that we have started to discuss today. So thank you very much. Tomorrow the session is at co-working and Saturday is at ZAF. Thank you very much.